since Bill's out, the only other person who's got a big enough head for this thing, I guess, is me, so that's how they select teachers around here, I guess. All right, I hope you have your notes ready and your Bibles ready. We're going to be in the first four chapters, or first four books of the New Testament, otherwise known as the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to be flipping through pretty hastily here, too. And I encourage you to write these down. We're going to deviate from what Bill's been teaching, by the way, because I didn't really know what he was teaching. So, what I'd been looking at is the baptism of Christ and the choosing of the first apostles and how these stories go together. If you know much about the Gospels, hopefully I'll give you some facts that you might not know. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. Any idea why? What synoptic means? Parallel. I heard one. Same, right? Synonym. Have we heard a synonym? That's the same word. Sin, same. Optic. Well, Bill should know what optic means, right? It looks the same, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of look the same. They tell the story. They tell the events of Christ. John kind of deviates a little. He tells the stories, but he also pretty much includes the personalization and the emotions and more of that type. So it doesn't quite look the same. So let's start with Luke chapter 3. Like I said, I encourage you to write these down. I'm just going to be reading, and this I'm going to show you how this has really kind of impacted me. There's going to be some takeaway points of each, but some of it's just the fact that we put the story together. You guys remember old Bob Ross, the painter? When he started out, it was just an empty canvas, and he'd put a line down there, and it kind of made a little bit of sense. He said it was a tree, so I kind of saw a tree there. But then by the time it was all done, it was a nice picture. That's what we're going to try to do tonight. I'm going to try to paint this picture and put the whole timeline together using all four Gospels and see what we can do here. Luke chapter 3, and we're just going to do 1 through 3. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Gives us the first thing that we know is when John went to the wilderness, when he got the message. I'm going to need that here. Thank you. When he got the message that he was going to be proclaiming proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, flip over to Matthew. Hold your finger there, because we're going to be going back and forth, back and forth. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Okay, so now we get a little bit, we put the stick but made the tree, now we got a branch. And we know that John went into the wilderness, and he's in, what he was preaching, his actual words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right? Now let's go back over to Mark chapter 1, 1 through 8. Keep painting here. Now I'm going to stop here. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I think this is key. Look at what Mark does. Mark doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus. Doesn't talk much about that. We get into his genealogy here in Matthew and Luke. But Mark starts off the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face. Who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" We keep reading that over and over. "John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Put yourself in John's shoes right now. You are John the Baptist. Who are you talking about? If you said Jesus, I'm sorry, you're incorrect. He was talking about the Christ. And I'll show you, and I'll prove my point, because Patrick's not in here. He's not, my attorney friend is not in here, so I'm going to have to make my own case and argument for you. Is it one and the same? I think I'm setting you up here. Let's slide over real quick. Well, nope. John 1 and verse 19. And we are going to read through 28. And this, remember, John is a little different when he writes. Of course, he's writing, the book of John is a little different than the others. "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' Now he confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'Well, what then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I'm not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He said, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And John answered, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing.'" Okay, we've prepped our canvas a little bit. We've set the stage. We've wondered who he is talking about. We know that he is talking about the Christ. Okay. Luke 1, verse 36. We're going to go back here and get a little history real quick. Of who John is and who Jesus is. Luke 1, verse 36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and in this sixth month with her who was called barren." Now, who was the angel talking to? Mary, right? Your relative, Elizabeth, also is with child. Mary was with child at this point. Mary was with the child. What was her child's name? Jesus. And Elizabeth was with child, and her child's name would be John. And if Mary and Elizabeth are relatives, then it stands to chance that Jesus and John were relatives, correct? Now, we don't know how close of relatives they were. We do know Mary spent 3 months with her. They were cousins. The King James says it. King James said they're cousins, so I guess we'll go with the King, I guess. So, they're relatives. They know each other. Now, who was John talking about when he was preparing the way in the wilderness? The Christ, not his second cousin. Not yet. Here we go. Okay, let's stay in Luke while we're there. Luke 3, verse 7 through 17. We'll move over. Luke 3, verse 7 through 17. We're back to John. He's in the wilderness. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized to him by him, you brood of vipers. Obviously, we just read that the Pharisees had sent some folks over here. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John was bold. He did not sugarcoat anything. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? This sounds familiar, right? Acts 2:38, almost. What shall we do? And he answered, whoever has two tunics is to share with them who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors, we know any tax collectors coming up in the Bible here, also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to him, collect no more than you are authorized to do. And soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. And John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into this barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Still has not made mention of the name Jesus. He is mentioning the Christ, and we get to see what his message was. We always kind of, you know, I learned all this stuff, so I'm just going to be relaying it. You guys may have already know this. Just nod your head politely and make me feel good. John, this is John's message. What did John preach in the wilderness? A lot of it sounds a lot like what Jesus preached. Be a good person. Be, you know, do your job. Live your life. Don't be evil and mean to other people. That's what he's telling them right there. But then in the end result, there's somebody else coming, the Christ, the Messiah, who's going to redeem us all. I like the piece of that it mentions the tax collectors. Who do we know that was a tax collector? Matthew, right? And this is, I think, I'm going to be trying to piece all this together, but I think that's going to be a critical part of the story. Okay, so we've set the stage. We know what John's preaching. He's been in the wilderness. He's been at the Jordan preaching this. People are coming to hear this message. People like this message. So let's move on to Matthew chapter 3. And verse 13 through 17. Enter our hero. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Why did John say, "I need to be baptized by you"? How many of you guys have a good person in your life that you think, man, they've got this all together. They've got this thing figured out. Maybe a relative. I'm going to think Jesus was a good man. Pretty good evidence, right? No reason for John to believe. John's message was everything that this Jesus, his cousin, relative, was doing in life. He didn't need to repent. John's message was, repent. Well, you're doing everything right. You don't need the message that I'm giving you. It has nothing to do with Jesus as the Messiah. I'm still making my case. Hold on to me here just a minute. Okay? Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Just a little short. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up from the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Sounds exactly what Matthew said. And we can go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" You know what John, the book of John, does not record? The baptism of Jesus. John 1, I'll make sure I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. John 1, verse 29 through 34. I'm going to see light bulbs go off here. I'm expecting it. Some of you may pass out. I don't know. John 1. So, we're putting the painting all together on this deal. The next day, okay, we just read what happened. Jesus was baptized. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Underline this one, 31. "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit,'" and basically he's saying this again, "'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.'" Again, here's another underlying, 33. "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" When Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water and the Spirit descended upon Jesus, John, let's back up a few days, months, whatever it was, when somebody sent John and said, "It's your job to prepare the way for the Messiah. This is how you're going to know who the Messiah is." Gives him a slip of paper. It's the one when the Spirit rests on him like a dove. That's what John had. He had that message. Now he goes out into the wilderness. He doesn't know who the Messiah is, but he goes out, and here comes Jesus, his relative, good guy that he knows, "You've been doing everything right. You don't need to be baptized me." Jesus says, "Yeah, go ahead and baptize me." Baptizes him. Spirit comes down, and John There it is. This is the Christ. This is the Lamb of God that we've been waiting for. I got the message. I did my job. Here He is. And then the next day, He comes, and that now John is proclaiming, that's Him. That's who we've been waiting on the whole time. Now, I don't know about you, but it would have to be the Spirit like a dove would have to rest on one of my cousins for me to believe that they were the Messiah, because it would take a lot. Right? But here's John, and he knew it. Amazing. I hope you had some light bulbs go off. This was, I've read this several times, and we all have this story, but he didn't know from the time he was born that who the Christ was. For 30 years, he didn't know. And then here it is, he baptizes him, and then he has the humbleness to say, and all these people are listening to John's preaching. John had a following. He has disciples. We're going to read that. And his immediate response is to point away and say, that's who we're here for. So that's one main message that we get to, is the baptism of John. And the purpose of Jesus' baptism. I think a lot of times we have questions over why Jesus was baptized, and our friends across the street may have reasons why baptism is essential or not essential. Sometimes we errantly point to this scripture. The purpose of Jesus' baptism was to prove that He was the Son of God. David. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And in this, like I said, in this case, it was directly for John. I mean, boom, now he knows. The next day, he saw it. Now, let's keep moving. I think we painted several trees on this one. Let's keep moving. The next day again, in verse 35, John was standing with two of his disciples, followers, people who respected John, who liked the message that he was giving, the ones who liked it. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Said it again. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Literally followed him. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Okay, so we've got 3 days so far. John is baptizing. John baptizes Jesus. The Spirit descends on him. He realizes he's the Son of God. The next day, he tells everybody that this is the Son of God. The next day after that, he points Jesus to Andrew and says, "This is the Lamb of God." Andrew says, "We found him." What can you, what, by that statement, what do you know? We have found it. And if you say, I found it, you are looking for it. So this, if you're writing, taking notes, this is what I wrote down. You can't find what you're not looking for. And how many people are not looking for the Messiah? Now, that being said, I found a screwdriver at my house the other day. I wasn't really looking for it, but I'd lost it a long time ago. Sometimes you just got to be reminded that you were looking for it. And we got to remind other people out there that we are, that they are looking, they are seeking something. Sometimes they don't know what they're seeking, but it's the Lamb of God. We're on the third day of after Jesus was baptized, and he's met Andrew, and Andrew does what we all should do as well. What'd he do? He told others, but verse before that, told his brother, followed him, he interviewed him. I want to know who this guy is, who he's saying he is, right? Andrew didn't take anything for granted. He wanted to know. He said, I want to know. I'm looking for the Messiah. Andrew must have been pretty fairly strong in the Scripture to interview him. It did. It told him enough to go directly to his brother and say, we found him. Check it off our list. We found the Messiah. If that's on your bucket list, you can empty your bucket. Right? Okay. Let's keep going on this time. This timeline is amazing. Let's stay in John chapter 1, verse 43 through 51. The next day, so we're on day 4 now, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, yeah, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Where was Philip from? What town? Bethesda, Bethsaida, the same town as Philip and Peter and Andrew, right? And I think this is neat little point of when we get to this part of it. I hope I have enough time. I'll run out of time here. Okay, we'll keep that in the back of your head there. But Philip also said we found him as well. I think that's important. And Jesus, I don't know what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree, but it must have been significant to where Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. I don't know if he'd be an honoree or what, but it made an emphasis, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And if you remember where we read in Luke chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist preparing the way, and at the end of 22, Jesus had been baptized, and then it went kind of into the genealogy of Christ, a little sidebar. And now here we are in chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. Okay, we're going to stop there. So, on Jesus was baptized on day, let's say day one. John proclaimed him as the Lamb of God on day two. On day three, Andrew interviewed him and told his brother he found him. On day four, Jesus met Philip and Nathaniel. And at some, and day four or five, somewhere in there, Jesus was on his way out when he saw Philip and Nathaniel. So here he is, and he keeps going, and he goes to the wilderness. So we're at 5 days. And then we know that he's in the wilderness for how long? 40 days. Okay? So if I'm Andrew, well, we know he was alone, right? He was in the wilderness. So Andrew does what? Goes back home. He's got a job to do, right? He's got to go fishing. Sounds like fun, but I don't know that it was the same type of fishing that we would consider fun. Okay, so Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. So kind of we put that in our little notes there. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. We're probably going to read something similar here. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was out in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And what I really wanted to point out was a lot of times we see this and we think that as soon as he came out of the water, he was rushed off to the wilderness. But here we are on day four or five, and when Mark says immediately, he means soon after. Okay, that was his next, in Mark's story, that was his next line there. Matthew will say something similar as well in chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And for after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We see the same look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, we see all that pattern. But he is going to the wilderness. Mark told us in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, this is the beginning of the good news, the gospel. Jesus was going to the wilderness. This was his beginning too. His ministry started in the wilderness, and he was preparing himself for the rest of the next 3 years. So, I'd love to. All we hear about is those three little incidents in the wilderness, but I guarantee you there was a whole lot more going on. And obviously, we didn't need to know it because it wasn't written about. So, he goes into the wilderness. And he plans, he's there for 40 days. You know he didn't just sit on a rock for 40 days and do nothing. So my question to me and to you is how much time do we spend planning and preparing for our ministry and mission in the kingdom? Have we ever spent 40 days? Not even close. Have we ever spent 40 days? Have we ever spent enough time to think about what we are going to do to let our light shine in the world and to point people to the Lamb of God? Okay. Last thing. We'll get this done. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him and to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into the one of the boats, which was Simon's, he met 40 days ago, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And when they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I don't think I'm going to get much past this, so I'm going to stop there and we'll discuss a little. 40 days have gone by since Andrew said to his brother, Simon, "We found him." Then they went back home. Jesus went to the wilderness. They went back home. They're doing their job. They have, I don't know if they're wealthy men, but they had their own business. They had their own boats. They had their own partners, and they had their own people. We know that because, well, we're going to read a little bit more. I guess we'll do this next week. So we know that they did that. So what did they do for that 40 days? They fished. And I'm assuming they talked about what they heard 40 days ago, you know, for that whole time. And they have a decision to make. We heard this message, and we know that this is the Lamb of God. What are we going to do with the Lamb of God? We saw him. We talked to him. We interviewed him. What are we going to do with him? And they fished, and they fished, and they talked, and they fished, and they talked. And Simon probably got mad, because that's what Simon does, right? So that's where we're at. We'll stop there, and we're going to finish this story next week. So, hope you wrote it all down, because I probably won't remember it. So, keep Bill in your prayers. Do we normally have a prayer to end this? Is that? We should. How about that? Let's end with a prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we've been allowed by you to study your word. We thank you for that word. We thank you for its perfectness. We thank you for allowing us to learn from it each day. Stories that we've heard our entire lives, that we can learn new things and apply things to our lives. We ask that you bless each one of us and our families. Bless us as we go out into the world. Help us to ask what we will do with the Savior. We know who he is and what he's done for us, and we thank you for his mercy and his grace and your mercy and your grace. We just ask that you help us to share that with others as we go out into this world. It's in your Son's name. Amen.